Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Blog Talk Internet Show. My name is Sharon Jackson. I'm a member of the Palm Beach Life Planners, primarily located in Palm Beach, Florida. However, because of the marvelous benefits of technology, we have Palm Beach Life Planners that are all across the U.S. and internationally. This morning, I'm in virtual studio with our guest, Juanita Shanks. Juanita Shanks is a mother. She is a U.S. Army veteran. She says that my vision is to prosper in every area of my life and to teach others to do the same. She is a lover of people, of progress, and viable solutions. She works with companies, groups, organizations to build financial stability for future. She believes that all children, all people, are gifted, and that love and wisdom are fundamental keys to prosperity. She is a dream builder, a woman of integrity, a woman of influence, and a woman of great means. We want to thank Juanita for coming on to our show. For those that are our regular listeners, we'd like to remind you that Juanita Shanks, Miss Juanita Shanks, has been on our show before, and it was so good, and we had so many positive comments that we had to do a follow-up. So good morning, Juanita.
Good morning.
And this morning, there were so many rich things that you said at the last show, until we're going to do some follow-ups, if you don't mind. One of the things that you talked about is that your rituals, those things that you did to become success conscious. In our introduction, we talked about the fact that we are readers and followers of Think and Grow Rich, the book Think and Grow Rich, written by Napoleon Hill. It's not that we don't read other books, but our foundational book is Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, he says that this book is written for those who seek the rules which have made others successful and who are willing to shake everything for those rules. Success comes to those who become success conscious. This book, the object of the book, the object of Think and Grow Rich, is to help all of those who seek to learn the art of changing their mind from failure consciousness, from just being mediocre and average consciousness, to success consciousness. Now, this is the thing. We, as humans, are not designed to be average. We are designed to be success consciousness. But there are so many things that draw us into being mediocre until we have to fight to come out of being mediocre, of being failures, and propel ourselves into being successful. Now, Juanita, the last time you were here, you gave us several means of pulling yourself up into that success consciousness and then moving forward from there. Would you like to take us back through that?
Yes. Well, one of the things I want to say about success in life, just life in general, We are, it's a guarantee, a 100% guarantee that we will be successful. What we will be successful at is determined by what we focus our minds on the most. It can be a positive thing. It can be a negative thing. It can be something totally mundane. But we will be successful at whatever we focus our attention on, whatever we give our attention to in our thinking the most. So if we want to experience or have better experiences, if we want to achieve higher goals, if we want to see greater success, then we have to think about those things the most often. We have to alert ourselves, to let ourselves know, give ourselves permission, basically, because see, you give yourself permission to do whatever it is you're going to do. The thing is realizing that it's you who's doing it. Sometimes we think someone else is doing something to us. But the reality is everything we think about, everything we focus on, we're doing it to ourselves because we get to choose what we think about, how much time we give to that thought, and how much result we're going to see from the thought, because whatever we focus our attention on the most is what we're going to continue to have.
Very good. I see that Ann McNeil is on the line. I'm going to open her mic so that she can welcome you to the show and bring some additional comments. Ann, are you there?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, thank you so very much, Juanita, for joining us again. And I want to just tell all of our listening audience that you are really in for a treat. And like Sharon said, we are the International Mastermind Association, and the host of the call today is the Palm Beach Life Planner. But our guest is a longtime masterminder from the International Mastermind Association. So, Juanita, I'm also looking forward again to hearing you share with our listeners some of your experience in terms of the accountability that comes out of Thinking Grow Rich and that comes out of masterminding to help you become that success that you're discussing, because you're absolutely right. Whatever we focus our mind on, that's exactly what we give our attention to, and that's exactly what will grow. And I think that's one of the reasons why Napoleon Hill entitled the book Think and Grow Rich. So thank you so very much, Sharon. I'm going to go back on mute. Thanks.
Very good. Well, Ann, you can go back on mute, but you know what? Juanita and I were talking. We have about 5 minutes before we go into our next commercial break. But you and Juanita in our last show talked about coming into the success consciousness, but then taking those foundational steps and propelling yourself not only just in steps, but in quantum leaps. Now, this is something that Juanita has thought about and things that she has practiced, but I want you to participate in this conversation if you can. Juanita, would you want to take us forward in that?
Yes. In talking about quantum leaps, now, this is something I am learning to do. I was talking with Ann before about a course that I took called Dream Builders, and basically, fundamentally, it really is about thinking grow rich. It's about applying those steps in thinking grow rich, but what was added to the discussion were several other books, and one of the books that I was intrigued by during that course was a book called U Squared by Price Pritchett, and I can't remember where I bought it online. It might have been on iTunes, or I might have gone directly to the website and gotten it. No, I didn't because, well, anyway, I got the book, and I have it on my iPad. But in the book, it talks about masterminding as well. It basically takes all of the steps of masterminding, having your mastermind group, a small group of people that you trust, that you value their opinion, and that you're willing to share within your group what it is you're trying to do, but putting your plan together, writing it down, bouncing your ideas off of other people, and then instead of taking micro steps, once you build those relationships and the idea that you have can reach masses, then taking very assertive and aggressive action in your plan to actually move forward, connect with organizations that you want to impact, so that, and then teaching in within that framework of those organizations so that they can also multiply your efforts at a faster rate.
Very good. Anne, are you there? Is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Juanita. Juanita and Sharon, so getting a little feedback. So, Sharon, you may have to mute the lines because we're getting a lot of feedback in the lines. Sharon?
Yes.
Okay, we're getting a lot of feedback in the lines.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. But going to Juanita's point, though, about the quantum leap, I can definitely relate to that in my own personal life because wilderness experience in my life, at one point in my life, I tell people, and they don't believe it, but I was panhandling it every day. And that what that looked like for me was asking people if they had $5 because my business was on the rocks, my relationships was on the rocks, and everything in my life was literally on the rocks. And I know, and looking back in hindsight, that that's exactly where God wanted me to be, to leap. As I continued to read, think, and grow rich, and as I continued to do dream building, I drove, was driving in the neighborhood with, did not realize, but $1 million home. And at the time, I was homeless, literally homeless. My children and I were living with someone who really did not want us there, but that's a story for another day. But my point, Juanita's point is that I decided in my imagination, because I had this house on my mirror, that this is the kind of place I wanted to live in. And I took a quantum leap of faith, and stepped out into that property with no money, absolutely no money, and ended up living in the home for, I guess, maybe almost 20 years. But going to her point, we have to, at points in our life, take that leap, quantum leap. And what it does, or speak what it did for me, is that it forced me to grow into the person and develop the skills that I needed to be able to stay there. So those, you know, that's just one example, Sharon and Juanita, of my personal experience in terms of a quantum leap.
I'd like to read something from the book. This is the one thing that we're going to have to notice is that, you know, we may not tell you in specific chapters of the book that we will be reading from, but everything that we talk about today is foundational from Think and Grow Rich. This specific thing that I would like to read from is from the introduction, and it says that our minds become magnetized with the dominating thoughts that we hold in our minds, and that by means which no one fully understands, these dominating thoughts, like magnets, attract to us the forces, the people, the circumstances of life, which harmonizes with the nature of our dominating thoughts. We must magnetize our minds with intense desire for riches, that we must become money conscious. We'll realize it's not just money, but it's actually wealth consciousness. Until the desire for money, the desire for wealth, the desire for success drives us to create definite plans for acquiring it. And that's what has been talking about, and that's what Anne talks about. Their thoughts were dominating and became like a magnet to draw those things to them. Now, it is now time for our first commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about magnetizing our minds. Juanita gave us thoughts in terms of how she magnetized her mind for success consciousness and then drove it into quantum leaps. Well, I'd like to hear a couple of things when we come back from our commercial break. We'd like to talk to Juanita about how she used the magnetism of her mind to bring success into her business. But Juanita is not just a success in business. She is a successful mother. Wow. And the thing that was so exciting about Juanita is that she raised sons. Sons that she can proudly say, listen, my child is now going into college. My other child has decided his own career path that requires him going into the military, not just the military. He is in military intelligence, I believe, not something to take lightly for sons. Now, I'm going to go into commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to go further into quantum leaps into every area of our life.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Good morning again. This is Sharon Jackson and Juanita Shanks. And I want to invite our listeners. We do have listeners that have not raised their hand. But those that, if you choose, just push 1 on your phone and it will raise your hand and we can take questions. Now I'm going to give you another bit of information. After we've taken your call, please press 1 again so we can take down your hand will be taken down. All right, you know what, Juanita? We already have a caller that has raised their hand and obviously is very anxious. The last 4 digits of this telephone call number is 1700. I am opening your mic. Hello,
good
caller.
Good morning. This is Rosa Carter of Jacksonville, Florida. I just got a comment more than a question. I just want to take my hat off to you, Sister Juanita, for raising those young men, and preferably they will pass it forward to other young men and other young women, what you have instilled in them by setting that foundation that you have for your young men. Kudos to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so obviously we have spread the news about how wonderful you've been, and not only in being a successful businesswoman, but in being a successful mother. On the last show, I'm jumping subjects from what I originally said, but since our caller talked about your sons, let's just go ahead into being a successful mother of raising sons and watching people. This is the thing that I've realized. Raising children is an art. It's not just done by happenstance. It is an art. It is a plan. It is done by design. Can you talk to us about raising sons? And I believe you told us that you did it using Think and Grow Rich principles.
Yes. And, you know, I want to say about Think and Grow Rich, this is what I really want to point out about Think and Grow Rich. One of the masterful things that Napoleon Hill did in writing that book is basically he studied, or I would say he was so enlightened and so aware in his own actions of the thinking process. Because in reality, if a person has heard of Think and Grow Rich or not, or if they've never heard of it at all, but they achieved success, they actually they applied all of the steps in the book to get to that success. And it's because by design, the master creator, God himself, has given every individual the indelible power to achieve greatness. And every one of those steps, what Napoleon Hill did was he took the time to document what those steps look like and the methodology behind going from one step to the next step to the next step. So I've seen people who have never read the book and never heard of Napoleon Hill or Think and Grow Rich and have great success in what it is that they're doing because they were applying the method. Whenever you begin to think powerful thoughts, to want to do great things, there's something magical that happens all together right away. I was listening to a individual that I love to hear speak. His name is Graham Cook. And one of the things he says is, provision is not where you are. You have to go out and meet provision. And whenever you allow yourself to dream beyond your present circumstance and be uninhibited by those things that surround you, all of the things that say, no, you can't, it's impossible, you're too little, you don't have enough, you're not the right person, the qualities that are required, you don't possess them, all of those notes, those things that say no to the vision you have, if you go out to meet your vision, you believe it because you continue to think about it, like Anne said, for the house that she had on the wall. You continue to think about the business that you want or the change that you want to see in society or the family. What does your family look like? What is that ideal? What is a son that you're raising? You're not raising him to always be a boy. This is what I would think to myself. They are growing up to be men. We're not raising boys. We're raising men. And I hear a lot of people say, it's impossible for a woman to raise a man. That's false because there are so many households where you have single parent moms who are raising young men, and those young men go out and they meet with their dreams, they pursue their dreams, and they become great men. So it is not impossible. We should dispel those myths. It is not impossible to do anything. It is very possible to do everything you set your mind to do, everything that you have the intentionality to do. It is very possible to do it. All of the naysayers are wrong. They're just absolutely wrong. Because if you fix your attention on that thing and you continue to not only fix your attention on it, but you begin to speak it, you begin to talk about it, you have conversations. This is what I did with my sons. And becoming a part of Think and Grow Rich with Anne and the groups that she held together with the youth and with the adults, there were many of us in there that were single parents. See, it's hard raising a girl as well. But if you, the great thing about getting together in groups is the synergy that's created by being in that group. Because whenever you stand amongst a group of people who are thinking the same kinds of thoughts and moving in the same kind of direction towards positive success, the energy in that room is magical. The conversations become, they escalate the energy that you're already feeling. And you are more empowered, and your intention becomes more ingrained and more definite. And you decide more quickly. That desire grows, and you decide more quickly, this is the next step. That's when you start getting the enlightenment. As you have your thoughts, as you do your meditations, as you think about this aim that you have, your thoughts become more powerful. The power that is surmounting for that goal is magical because now you're hitting your environment now, all of the elements of the universe that create success, because the universe only knows how to create success. You're going to be successful with whatever you think about. Whatever it is that you want to do, you will be 100% successful at it. the steps that you're going to take, you're going to take them anyway because of what you're thinking about. With my sons, I always said to them, you will be a good father. You will be a good brother. You will be a good student. You will be a great grandfather, a good uncle, a great nephew. Speaking those things, and it's so important. I'm going to tell you, it was so important, the words that I used with my sons. I remember when I was disappointed or if I gotten upset, because I had said those things so many times as little kids and I said so many positive words into their spirits, I had gotten upset and I said something and it sounded very negative to them. It didn't sound like it was building them up. And they right away corrected me. They're like, Mom, how could you say that? Words are so powerful. The things we say from what we think is so powerful that little children, if they've been fed great thoughts, if they've been spoken of very highly, consistently, immediately, when something does not line up with what they've been taught, immediately they're going to say, oh, my gosh, what is that? Where did that come from? That does not belong. And I believe it is so important as parents that we invest the time in speaking to our children, invest the time in doing things like masterminding with them, talking to them about their dreams. What is it that you want to be? I remember my youngest son, Jeremiah, told me that he wanted to be a soldier. He told me he wanted to be a soldier when I was in the military. That was 20 years ago. When I was in the military and I was stationed at Triple Army Medical Center, Hawaii, he would put on my boots and walk around. I tried to discourage him. I tried to get him to think, you know, in another way, but he wanted to do that. And then as time grew on, he told me he wanted to become a counselor. This is an elementary school. He was about in about third or fourth grade. He used to be a school crossing guard. And he used to help raise the flag in the morning, and he would also help get the kids off the bus because at his school, they had a special section for kids who had autism. So he would help get those kids off the bus, and the kids would talk to him often about their problems. And Jeremiah is a dynamic problem solver. I have to say that about him. He is a great counselor. This young man is only 20 years old. This is the one who wants to be a federal marshal or work for the FBI, and he's in military intelligence right now in the Army. I had a conversation with him last week, and we talked for about an hour, and he was just telling me some of the things that he's been doing, some of the conversations he's been having, and I had to pause with him for a moment and tell him, son, do you remember when you told me that you wanted to be a counselor? And he said, yes. And I said to him, I just want you to know that you are so gifted in that area. One of the things he said to me was, he says, and I just thought it was phenomenal. He said to me, Mom, what I've started doing is when people talk to me, it doesn't matter what their tone of voice is anymore. It doesn't matter what their body language looks like. It doesn't matter what their facial expression is about. What I do so that I can hear what they're saying to me now is I actually close my eyes and bow my head when I'm in discussion. And I let them know that they have my full attention. But the reason why I'm closing my eyes and I'm bowing my head is because I don't want any of their emotion to affect my ability to hear what they're saying. I want to hear exactly where their heart is, remove all of my emotion so that I can actually help them. Now, I thought that was absolutely phenomenal.
Wow.
Because most,
yes. Yes, that is phenomenal because people use all that to throw you off track.
Exactly.
Minutia to try to create distraction, so that you don't really hear what they're trying to say. Or sometimes they're using that to make you head into fear or distraction or just because, you know, in all honesty, they may be asking for help. But
exactly.
You only hear it in the words. Oh, how great
exactly.
is that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted you to know that I just thought that was exciting, too.
Exactly. And the thing that got me the most about it was he repeated something, and if he read a book about it, I have no idea. But one of the greatest problems or barriers in communication is, for most of us, I know for me and for most adults, our biggest problem with communication is we listen for the opportunity to simply rebut.
Right.
We want to get our answer ready. Instead of listening to hear, what is the heart of this individual saying to me? What are they really asking me for? Why did they come to me to have this discussion? What am I supposed to get out of this, and how am I supposed to help them? Not how am I supposed to defend myself, how am I supposed to have a prepared response for what they're saying to me so that I don't look foolish, but what are they saying, what is their heart saying, and what do they need from me? What can I give them? What can I contribute to their life to help them get where it is that they're trying to go? And for him being 20 years old and putting that into practice already, and to me that's just absolutely incredible. That's incredible. And I had to give him kudos for that and let him know how proud of him I am because of his ability to think about what it is that he wants to say to people and think about the goodness of people and to think about how he wants to help people. He also told me in that conversation that he knows that he's called into ministry, that he's going to be a minister, he's going to do counseling, but he just doesn't know at what level. He doesn't think he's going to be a pastor or anything like that. But and he says ministry does not necessarily mean in the church, which I already know, and we talked about that several times before, but he's already, you know, at 20 years old, moving in that direction because he is a thinker. My
right.
other son, Eli. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would like to put a pin in it because it's time for us to go to our next commercial break. And there's two things that I'd like to do when we come back. I'd like for you to tell us about your second son. I also would like, if Anne is still available, Anne is also a mother that used Think and Grow Rich. I would like for her to come on and talk to us about how she used Think and Grow Rich to raise her daughters and her well, obviously she didn't raise her grandson, but she assisted her daughter in raising her grandson. So let us go to commercial break. I want for you to tell us about your second son and how Think and Grow Rich has helped him formulate his mind. And you know what? I'm talking, and I know I'm going to commercial break, but there is a section in Desire that talks about turning point in our lives. Those who succeed, usually it comes at a moment of some kind of crisis through which they are introduced to their other self. Now, let us go to a commercial break, and we come back. We have a lot to talk about. We're on the second part of the show, but thank you, thank you, thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Juanita, we're going to let Anne go first, talking about her daughters and her grandson, and then we'll come back to you. Anne, have you come off mute? Yes, I did, Sharon. Thank you so very much for the opportunity, and thank you so very much, Juanita, for continuing to bless us because, you know, the speed of the leader is the speed of the group. And so in your case, just like in my case and so many other parents, our children do watch us and model us more than we think. And so for the mere fact that we read the book, they were reading as we were reading, and they were living through our experience. And so for myself, I just like to share one short story about my second daughter, that as we were reading the book and as we were meeting to actually do our mastermind assignments every week at my home, my youngest daughter, Ione McNeil, began to just sit around, I would have her to read as we would drive. So I'd have her read a part of the book, and we would discuss the book. I'd have her read a part of the book, and we would discuss the book. And right at about 7 years old, we were having a mastermind meeting in my home in Miami, that home I talked about earlier, that million-dollar house with no money down. But we're in the living room, about 10 of us in our mastermind group, having a meeting that morning. And she was sitting there, and as we all went around, we got up to pray. And Ione all of us said, "But, Mommy, I didn't give my mastermind report." And everybody looked at each other, and nobody said anything. All of a sudden, Dr. Mia Merritt, who was Mia Merritt at the time, she said, "Well, go ahead, honey, give us your report." And Ione pulled out a little sheet of paper where she had written four items on that page, and those four items were her four goals. And number one goal, she said, "I want to read the Word of God." That was goal number one for her spiritual goal. Her second goal was a financial goal. She said, "When I grow up, I want to have a lot of money." She's 7 years old. Her third goal was, "For my education goal, I want to get straight A's." Her fourth and final goal was a recreational goal. She said, "I want to learn how to play golf." Now, let me fast forward 10 years later from that day. 10 years later from that day, and Juanita's a witness to this, when I traveled, Ione was so committed to her relationship with God, she would take my car and find a ride and get herself to church on her own, read her word every day diligently to learn and to study. That's number one. Number two, she branded herself as the baby billionaire, teaching kids and families how to analyze stocks and how to invest. Number three, she graduated with a 4.6 GPA and was able to get scholarships to not only pay for her college but also to make money from scholarships and grants in her 4 years. And finally, the last goal she had, recreation goal, was that she ended up becoming the captain of her golf team in high school and the captain of her basketball team, and they ranked state for 3 years out of the 4 years. So I'm saying that to just give a real-life breathing example of what happens when our children are taught and read about how to think and grow rich at an early age. Now, my grandson, will leave him for another show. He has branded himself as a little technology, the technology professor. And then my oldest daughter, which is Malachi's mother, Danelle McNeil, in her own right, I call her the Queen of Toastmasters, but she has also gone on to use the principles of the book to help raise her child and also to start and build her own business called MCO Management. So I am a very staunch believer in this. And I have to also, because we're talking about family, we're talking about mastermind, I would have to also give great respect to my husband, my boyfriend, the love of my life, because he has been very supportive of all of us, and he deems himself as the mastermind grand parent to give his grandson any and everything he wants. That's his way of maximizing. So I thank you for the opportunity, Sharon. I'm going to go back on mute, but this has just been a wonderful opportunity. Thank you both.
Thank you, Ann McNeil. Now back to you, Juanita. Tell us about your other son and how you use Think and Grow Rich to develop him into a man.
Yeah, and for Elijah, that's my oldest son. He's at FAMU right now, and he went to Tallahassee and started at TCC. He finished up 2 years at TCC, and this year he started his third year at FAMU. And one of the posts he put on his site is, on his Facebook site is, I love college. And he's loving the experience of being at an HBCU. One of the things that Ann really tried to help a lot of students, the group of masterminders that we work with, of course, are African Americans. So she really tried to encourage the students to think about going to an HBCU. And so Elijah had a choice of actually after finishing up TCC of going to either FSU or FAMU, and he decided to go on to FAMU. And he's just so happy at this point in his life. I mean, my oldest son was dating a young lady, and they went up to school together, and they ended up getting married. And, you know, that part of his journey didn't work out so well. He ended up getting a divorce, but he regrouped, and he stayed in school. So he did not allow that to derail him. And, of course, he had lots of support in not becoming derailed because his dad and I continue to call him and talk with him. And his aunt is there in Tallahassee as well. And we continue to speak well in his life and listen to him and hear his, hear all that he's going through. But one of the things that he does, my oldest son is a avid reader. His favorite place on earth is Barnes & Noble. And one of the things that he said to me when he was about 3 years old, because he used to love to draw, and he used to love to write about what he saw in his pictures. So he told me he was going to be a writer. About kindergarten, he told me he was going to be a writer. And I said, okay. And so he started writing short stories. By the time my son was in third grade, he was reading 300-page novels. And he would write his short stories, and I would read them. He'd write his poems. Now he has, ledgers full of different writings of short stories and poems and such. And he's in school right now. He's an English major. His goal is to become a university professor, and he says he's going to continue going through school until he achieves his PhD. But he's writing, constantly writing, constantly writing music. He loves to sing as well. He taught himself to play the acoustic guitar. And he's so proud of himself because as teenagers, one of the things I mentioned before, not letting your kids have idle time, that's so important. I put them in situations where they had to volunteer. From elementary school through high school, they volunteered hours and hours of their time to community-based projects or to the church or whatever. If anybody told me they needed some extra hands to do something, my sons were there to help do that. To the point where when they got into high school, they decided to tell me one day, Mom, we are not going to volunteer anymore. The next job we do will be a paid job. And so they set out on a course to have, to have a job that would pay them money because to them, they didn't want to just give away their time for free. And I was very happy with that because there are so many kids who are allowed to just, do whatever they want and their leisure or watch TV whenever they get ready to and all of those kinds of things. They're not told that, one of the things that I really applaud Ann's efforts with the Think and Grow Rich with the youth, Ione was teaching the kids about the stocks, how to pick stocks. And one of my things with my sons was it came up in discussion. you know, the Nike shoes and Colgate toothpaste and stocks that were doing very well in the market, Walmart and McDonald's. But one of the things that was said that was, it sticks in my mind to this day is, if you don't have stock in that product, these very, very expensive products that most youth want to have because other youth have them, why would you want to wear that or why would you want to buy that? Because all it's doing is taking your money out of your pocket and giving to the success or the richness of someone else. And so my sons never went after, as youth, they never craved those Nike shoes or Jordans or anything like that. And if they did get it, I didn't buy it for them. I made it very clear, the day you get that, it will be the day that you spend your money on it, because I'm not going to help you walk down that road thinking that because you look a certain way, you're successful. Because you have on these expensive shoes, but you don't have a dime in your pocket, that you are successful. That's false, and that's setting you up for failure. And so my sons didn't have those kinds of things. When there's one, unless one of their aunties or something like that bought it. Or once they got their job, they bought it for themselves. Right now, Elijah is in his third year. He's written so many songs, and I'm talking about these are chart-topping songs that he's written. He's written so many short stories, and he's working on writing his first book. And this is because he continues to tell himself what he wants. And on top of that, my son also works while he's in school. He's never, since he started working, he's never gone without a job since the first day that he began working. And he believes in working. He called me this week to let me know, because when he started his job, he has an online job working with Xbox 360. And he's a customer service representative, and he's done so well. He's had multiple evaluations where they were excellent evaluations, and they really want him to become a manager within their call it by the group. But he doesn't want to step into that role because it's going to take away from his schooling. So right now he's still at the part-time level, but he called me so excited because he just got a raise to $13.50 an hour. For him, that's astronomical, and he's so excited about it that he's able to hold down a job and still do well in school and see progress in his life. And he's overcome something that would normally be a real setback for most people. When people go through divorces, I've heard them say it's like dying inside. That he was able to bounce back, stay in school, and stay focused, and continue to march forward. And I believe that has everything to do with continuing to think about your future, think and grow rich, thinking about where his aim is, where he wants to be, and not allowing his circumstances around him. His own mastermind group was not a group of other young people who were his age, but he consulted with his family members, people who are older than him, who've gone through more than he has, and he received those encouraging words. And that's the other thing about success. You have to be willing to hear from people who have already done it, who've gone through where you're trying to go to get where you're going, and to be able to receive what they're telling you. And I believe that it has had a great impact on Elijah's success and his ability to continue to move forward in what he wants to see for his life and what he wants to create for his children and what he wants, the kind of example he wants to be for his nieces and nephews who have not finished up high school yet. And I'm very proud of him as well.
Very good. We're going to take another commercial break, but this is the thing I'd like for you to think about before when we come back. And we have 10 minutes left in the show. But one of the things that we have talked about among the Palm Beach Life Planners, and I know that you have thought about this also, when we come back, I want you to kind of tell us about how you're handling this. And the topic is, what will I do when I'm 92? Because you have designed your life in your youth and designed your life in the middle stages, it's so important to design our life once we get to a certain age. So I'm going to go to commercial, and we come back. I'd like for you to talk on the topic of what shall I do when I'm 92. We'll be back in a second.
Mm-hmm.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Well, we are back with the International Mastermind Internet Show, and we are in the last segment of our show with Juanita Shanks. She is a woman that has been successful in her career. She's been successful in her military career, and she has been successful at being a mother. Now, can you put one over another? No. She's just been a woman that has been successful in various segments of her life by using the Think and Grow Rich principles. And naturally, as the commercial says, we do goals and objectives, implementing objectives in every area of our life. And that is, this is a woman that has done that successfully. Now, before we went on break, I put it in Ms. Shanks' mind to talk to us about what shall we do when we're 92. When we're young, we set out goals of being finished, of starting school, about getting our education, about getting married. We set out goals for this, we set out goals for that, and maybe we set out some goals to have some money for retirement. But we live long lives now. So it's important for us to set goals about being 92. So, Ms. Shanks, can you talk to us about that?
Yes. At 92, where I see myself and what I'm doing at 92, I'm a very healthy 92-year-old, a woman who inspires me for great health is, her last name is Shepherd. She began bodybuilding. She's a married woman, lost her sister to cancer, and she began bodybuilding. And she's now approximately 78 years old. And in her division, she is number one in bodybuilding. And this lady has an immaculate body for 78 years old. She teaches classes with her church members. She has a gym, and she teaches classes to younger women and older women alike in how to eat properly, how to take care of your body, maintain your health. Her husband is a very good-looking man as well. He keeps himself well, and he prepares all of her meals for her. But she travels and has conversations with people in different groups concerning your health and how to keep your body healthy, how it's an incredible machine, and how you can continue to be agile throughout your entire life. You do not have to choose to become older and decrepit. So where I see myself at 92 is a very comfortable place in life. However, still setting goals, still working with groups, probably more likely a church group, but still working with groups of people to continue to inspire younger people who think that they can't make it or who've gone through different life tragedies to incentivize them and let them know that every tragedy is also an opportunity for overcoming. It's an opportunity for success. It's an opportunity to actually learn. When we talk about success, very often we forget about or we would neglect to mention that along the way to success, there is a lot of failure. But failure is just another word that means I get to edit the way I did the thing at first. I get to make some changes. I get to reflect and see what I've done and what I could do differently so that I can have a better outcome on my next occasion. So success is a part of, I mean, for failure is a great part of moving towards success. And at 92, I see myself sharing that information and being able to do things like traveling and spending my time exactly how I want to, because I own my time. I put aside funds that have begun to work for me so that I can live the life of leisure, give where I want to give, support the missions and support the messages that I believe are important to sustaining an incredible and a great society, a great America. I see myself actually, hopefully by then, on a larger platform where they're still inviting me to come and share my life experiences and to tell other people how to live life successfully, sharing information about, excuse me, children, sharing information about your money, achieving your dreams, having your goals, running after those goals, taking those quantum leaps. I see me as a fearless 92-year-old.
Absolutely. And you put those things in place. One of the things that Think and Grow Rich says is, and I talked about a turning point, and that's what's so important about turning points. It says a turning point, and I read it once, but it's so significant I shall read it again. It says a turning point in our lives, those the turning point in the lives of those who succeed usually comes at the moment of some crisis through which they are introduced to their other selves. And that's something that you just mentioned. Using periods of crisis, those valley periods, those barren periods, those desert periods, using those periods as a time to clear your head, to be able to use that 2020 vision to be able to open up those desert areas and bring life, to bring clarity in your thought, to say, okay, I missed the mark that way, but I can make it again this way. And I just am so impressed because, again, I tell our listening audience that while we may not say we were in chapter such and such on page 29 in Desire or chapter this, that, and the other, talking about faith, everything that our guest spoke about was based on desire, success, consciousness, faith, auto-suggestion, imagination, persistence and the brain. Every topic, every heading of every chapter in Think and Grow Rich, our guest spoke about. We have 2 minutes. I would like you to take a minute to Ms. Shanks to give us your final thoughts. And then, because of something that you said, I would like to read a poem because of something that you said, and it's called My Wage, and it's in the last page of the chapter on desire. I bargain with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged every evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is just employer. He gives you what you ask, but once you have set wages, why, you must bear the task. I work for a menial hire only to learn dismayed that men any wage I'd ask of life, life would have willingly paid. Juanita Shanks had lived that life. She has lived that life as a business employee, as a business owner, as a successful mother raising 2 sons with vision. She has used this principle, this Think and Grow Rich principle, in her spiritual life, in her everyday walk. And that's why we do this show. It's not for those that just make $1 billion. It is those that choose to be success conscious. And I want to thank you right now because we're in the last 10 seconds of the show. And I just want to thank you so much, Wanda Sheikh. Thanks for coming on our show again. And I'm hoping you will come back.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. You asked me for my final thoughts. One of the things that we do when we think about success and becoming successful, one of the things that a lot of us gravitate toward is trying harder. If I try harder, I believe I'll achieve more. When the reality is sometimes all we need to do is look, take a step back from the problem or take a step back from what it is that we are trying to achieve and reevaluate where we are in that process and then look for the door, because trying harder does not always equal success. It may be that you're trying so hard that you don't see what is standing right next to you, that link that you need so that you can go faster, further towards your success. And what I want to say to that is that sometimes in moving forward, even in the Think and Grow Rich process, we have to take a moment to pause, and that's what those meditations are about. Take a moment to pause and look again at our environment, what's all around us, because remember that as we're thinking and as we're planning and as we're moving forward, the universe is also working with us because we put it out there in the atmosphere, and because we're making the motion, provision is there. It is there.
A subject for another time, Esmeralda. That is a whole show in itself. Can I get you to come back? Can I get you to commit? And let's delve into that more deeply.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. And with that, we're going to close the show. Thank you so much, our listening audience. I see that there are people that were here listening all the time that didn't raise their hand. But we thank you for listening. And we have to thank you, Juanita Shanks, for being our wonderful guest this morning. This is the International Mastermind. This is the Palm Beach Life Planners. And we're signing off. And we look forward to talking to you again next Saturday.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it.